Hi there, this is Michael Ann Conley, and welcome back to another episode of Habits into Health. We are all about habit change from the inside out. You've heard about habit change, I'm sure, and that's why you're listening in. And you've probably heard the phrase change agent. Well, I am a habit change agent, and I am interested in helping you become a change agent in your own life about the habits that are bothering you, concerning you, and have you stuck. In Habits into Health, we try some different kind of approaches, particularly experiential, because it just so happens that what you think does not create who you are. I like to say, let your body lead so that your mind can follow, because for many hundreds of years, we've been fascinated as a human family with the functioning of the brain, to the extent that we've kind of cut out the source of the brain. And the brain is designed to be a partner with all of you and not a dictator that runs the show. Lately, we've been doing a series about sleep and fatigue. And that's because I think we've all been set up to believe certain things about ourselves based on whether or not we're getting enough sleep. In this episode, we are going to look more closely at what normal sleep actually is and how it is so socially determined that this definition has changed. And I hope it gives you some great perspective for what your sleep rhythm is. Before we go there, though, let's do our Habits into Health practice. This is something that we incorporate into every single episode. Because, as I said before, this perspective is experiential. And information can only take us so far. If you prepare the way, though, by attuning to yourself, you actually can utilize the information that you get more effectively. And since today's topic is about natural sleep, I'd like to have you check in first with how sleepy you are right now. And let's do a little scale from zero, being I'm not sleepy at all, I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, like they say, with 10 being I am absolutely exhausted and fatigued, and I need to lie down just to listen right now. So just tune in right now to where you are in that scale, from zero, awake and alert, to 10 being really, really sleepy and really fatigued. And then let's go one step further, because that's just a number, right? How about tapping in to how you know what that number is? It's not just a number. You've given yourself some information and you've defined that there's a number associated with it. But let's have you tune in to where you feel either fatigued on the one end or energized on the other, or whatever is true for you in between. And start with checking in with your head. Now, that's one word, but boy, what is encompassing your head? You might check in with how you're feeling in the front of your head, around your face. Very often when we say, I feel fatigued and really tired, we feel it around our eyes. We yawn, so that's in the jaw. But you may also feel tired in your head, around the top of your head and the back of your neck. Fatigue isn't just about sleep. Fatigue can be a muscular experience. So tap in for a minute around how you are in your neck and your shoulders. And maybe you feel energized there. Maybe you're on that energetic end of the scale. Maybe you're on the fatigued end of the scale or somewhere in between. But what is it that you actually feel? Where do you feel contracted? Do you feel loose? Do you feel warm? Chilled? Do you feel anxious? Do you feel slowed and sluggish? Feeling words are tied to your internal experience, and no one can take those away from you. So do you feel energized? Check in with your chest and your belly, the front part of your trunk, and then also in your back, the back part of your trunk. How do you know where you are in that scale? Well, you know because you have a felt sense. It's a feeling. And that feeling moves so fast that we then come up with a number. But in fact, that number is grounded in being. So check in with your pelvis right now. What's happening there? Where are you on that scale? And down into your legs. When we tap in to what's really going on beneath what we think is supposed to be going on, amazing information comes forward. Even if the information you get is, I am really, really sleepy right now, that can be really useful. Even if the information you get is, wow, I feel really energized and all buzzy and I'm raring to go, there can be danger on both ends of that continuum. We can overstretch ourselves when we feel great and terrific, and we can subdue ourselves so much that we become paralyzed if we let ourselves get too sluggish. So now take a deep breath. Check in again with where you are on that continuum from 0 to 10. Very, very energized and awake and alert, all the way to drifting off to sleep. And if that's the case, you know, this is a podcast. You can come back and listen at any time that you like. Let's make a shift here for a little station identification. You are listening to Habits into Health. And my name is Michael Ann Conley. I'm a holistic therapist and I'm a habit change agent. My clients come to me because they're struggling with a mystery about something that's going on in their behavior that they haven't been able to have an effect on. And in today's world, we think that if we know what it's about, that's going to change what it's about. And nothing could be further from the truth. There is more than just knowing with your intellect and with your brain. There is tapping in to what's really going on inside you that may be very different than what's going on inside someone else. And I'd like to make this podcast really, really useful for you in that personalized kind of way. So I've created a survey, has a few questions on it. Some of them are demographic. I like to know where you're listening from, but I'm also interested in hearing what is it that's concerning you about a behavior or a habit or a pattern that is a mystery that you sure would like to move past, and somehow it's been a struggle for you. So come on over to habitsintohealth.com and click on the survey link that's right at the top of the website. And I will see what kind of questions you have and what kind of solutions you may have, because then I can share them here for everyone to get. While you're there for a visit, consider coming and checking out my new ebook. It's called Do You Have a Habit? Or Does Your Habit Have You? And if you give me your name and email address, I will send you the ebook. And then I'll also keep in touch about activities that I do here in the San Francisco area where I live and work, but also online kinds of things that I do that you can tune into from anywhere in the world. And you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Just go to the iTunes store and search for Habits into Health. That's three words. And you can follow us on Facebook by searching for Habits into Health as well. Let's talk about today's topic. This is part three of a short series to discuss the relationship between sleep and fatigue. And we all have problems from time to time with getting enough sleep or getting restful sleep. But if this is a regular occurrence, a chronic situation, it could be pretty worrisome. And yet, you're not alone either. A lot of times, people say they have a sleep problem, but what's really going on is something else. So problems with sleep are associated with depression, with weight gain and obesity, which are themselves linked to sleep apnea that interferes with restful sleep, with chronic illness. There's a connection particularly between loss of regular sleep and heart disease. witnessing or experiencing violence is associated with poor sleep, and that also has repercussions for health. And that includes exposure to war, which is really something you could imagine. Children and adults alike, to be constantly under some kind of barrage where you don't know what's happening next. All of these things create problems with sleep. And it turns out that sleep problems are not just an issue in Europe and the United States. Sleep issues are an increasing problem in Africa and Asia as well, and South America and Australia also. And what I want to encourage you about is that you might be laying the responsibility for this on yourself, wondering what you're doing wrong. You may feel really frustrated. Maybe you've tried a lot of different solutions. There's a lot of stuff out there on the web. And you may have tried some of those things. But I think the first thing to get clear about is where your responsibility begins and where it belongs somewhere else. And so in the first episode of this series, I touched on peeling back the truth about how your energy flow really doesn't fit necessarily with everyone else's, and that may be natural to you. And then in the last episode, we got some good reminders to not judge ourselves for situations that are based on social rules. Yes, we're affected by those rules, like expectations about work schedules, and we don't create those rules. But if your work schedule doesn't follow your own natural rhythm, then you're going to be struggling around sleep in one way or another. It pays to keep a balanced perspective. You may know the Serenity Prayer. I've been reminding myself of it. I do that often. It's a pretty constant for me in my life. And so I want to share it as a way of keeping perspective about what it is that we do have some responsibility for. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Just take a deep breath. It's a wonderful reminder, isn't it? We are just getting wise here about the ways that we've all been set up to believe certain things about what normal sleep is. And there's some really interesting information that I came across that I hope is going to help you shift your focus so that you can get more clear about what you are responsible for. And it starts with acknowledging that the Buddha was right. Life is suffering. And suffering is caused by expectation. Many sleep problems today are more about our definition of normal sleep. And there is a collective delusion about this that all of us are living in, when in fact, researchers know that how normal sleep is defined is different today than it was in the past. And in fact, this whole series that I'm doing about sleep was catalyzed after I read an issue of The New Yorker from 2013. And here was this wonderful article by science writer Elizabeth Colbert. And she wrote, quote, "So many people have trouble getting to sleep between 11 at night and 7 in the morning because sleeping between 11 and 7 isn't what people were designed to do." And of course, I thought, wow, I need to share this. And you may know that to some extent. It kind of depends on where you live in the world. I grew up in a part of the world where the siesta is normal. And it just makes sense during the hottest part of the day to rest after lunch. And as a young adult, I lived in New Orleans for a while, and it was common among my circle of friends to get up in the morning and work when it was cooler, and then break for a long lunch, and work again well into the evening. It wasn't unusual at all for us to eat dinner at 9 or even later, and then we'd go out for music late into the night. And while I'm sure that isn't the rhythm for everyone, it certainly was the rhythm in that city. And needless to say, as a night owl, I really love this about New Orleans. Just as your energy ebbs and flows in the daytime, it also modulates at night. And Colbert tells us that historically, even stoic North Americans used to sleep what was called naturally. They went to bed not long after the sun went down. Then 4 or 5 hours later, they woke from what was called their first sleep, and they busied themselves. They prayed, they sat up and talked, they smoked their pipes, they made love. She says that Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers of the United States, liked to spend his time reading naked in a chair. And then eventually, people of that era went back to bed for their second sleep. Now, you may have that kind of a rhythm. So she wrote, I'm going to quote here, "Anything else, sleeping during the day, sleeping in bursts, waking up in the middle of the night, is taken for being unsound, even deviant. But napping, or even just resting, is not for people who have nothing better to do. It turns out it's normal." So here are some possible solutions. Even if you have a less than ideal work schedule, you can reduce stress by adjusting your understanding about what's normal. If you have a first sleep, second sleep rhythm, consider the price that you pay for the tension and stress that comes from fighting this rhythm. And how might you experience your mid-sleep break differently? Acceptance could create possibilities. And yeah, it could mean getting to bed sooner so that you get the rest you need. It could mean educating your boss and negotiating a different work rhythm. Even in an uneven economy, keeping your antenna up for work that's a better fit for who you are instead of the other way around is another possibility. On the leisure side, I hope you make this time fulfilling by following your natural rhythm. If you're an early to bed and early to rise person, can you just stop apologizing to others because partying after work is not your style? If you're a person who has a first sleep, wake, second sleep cycle, can you be accepting of that? Give yourself permission to be okay. If you're a classic night owl, can you stop buying into the conventional wisdom that you're never going to get ahead in life because the early bird gets the worm? In fact, some studies suggest that the stamina of the owl serves just as well, even though night owls wake up later following their natural rhythm. They tend to have more waking time. I've posted a link to an article by Satoshi Kanazawa. He's an evolutionary psychologist, and he says that because being nocturnal is so new for human beings, night owls are actually outside the common evolutionary box, stretching that evolutionary growth. And he cited a large study that showed that intelligent children are more likely to become nocturnal adults than less intelligent children. So, the early bird might get the worm, but the late bird might just be smarter at finding worms. Finding your own rhythm is really an important part of human being these days. Let's come together to give ourselves permission to have more of our own natural rhythm in how we sleep and when we sleep. I am going to sign off for now. I'd love to hear your feedback about this and about what most keeps you stuck in old patterns, old beliefs, whether it's about sleep or any other habit that happens to concern you. Come on over to Habits Into Health and let me know by clicking on the survey link. And consider requesting my free ebook. Not just if you have a habit, but if you care about someone who has a habit. Because there are patterns we get into when we try to help someone else that actually interfere with helping. Remember to start small and be kind to yourself along the way. You've been listening to Habits into Health with Michael Ann Conley, and I am here to help you stop feeling so out of control over those habits that don't serve you, and to stop wondering about what you're doing wrong or what's wrong with you, and start creating a life where you're in charge of them instead of the other way around. Thanks so much for joining me.